Everybody, this is Pastor Buddy. Welcome in here with us to the Shepherd's Call. We'll be with you for the next hour. We want you to get your Bible, and we're going to go into some exciting revelations of Scripture. We're going to begin in these last days with an important message for the hour. You know, the unseen world within our world. We're going to talk about some of the mysteries that are within. Remember, the Bible said we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high places. We're going to examine that today with you. Praise Yahweh. And wherever you may be listening to the Shepherd's Call, this is the hour of revelation. We're in the last days, and the Bible is telling us to begin to look up. Well, the things that have happened, especially in the last 3 or 4 years in the world, we have instant messages. We have instant on-the-scene cameras around the world. We can't seem to miss anything. Even the slightest movement is being detected by the media and brought to view to the worldwide audience. Well, ladies and gentlemen, there's something that we don't see. And that is that there is a feeling in the last days that many people and many things in the world are not right. They don't seem to be able to put their finger on just what the problem might be. And for them, things simply don't add up. They wonder why there are so many wars and police actions, and yet no one ever seems to win. They continue day to day with their nose to the grindstone, but simply it can't get ahead no matter how hard they try. And it seems like it's always one step forward and two steps backward in life for a lot of people. One gets the feeling that one is on a treadmill going through a lot of motion but never going anywhere. Dare we ask the question, is there something out there that we don't know about? Well, ladies and gentlemen, part of the deception and darkness of the evil ones. You say, well, Pastor Buddy, there's no evil in the world. Evil is what you perceive to be evil, and evil is within self. Well, that may be true to a certain extent, because everyone has a carnal mind. And the Bible says that the carnal mind is not subject to the laws of God, and neither indeed can be. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And when we get into the spiritual realm of understanding, then we can look for darkness and light. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you're in the darkness, light shows up at a tremendous revelation pace as the vibrations of light comes through darkness. Well, also, if there's no light, they that walk in darkness, and that's what Satan's game is to keep us deceived and stay undetected as the enemy within. And that's the title of our message tonight, The Enemy Within the Gates. Remember the Trojan horse, how the enemy came through the gates at Troy? The same thing has happened. And it's one of the oldest tricks in the world. And let's just say that we were to play a football game with both teams wearing the same style and the same color uniform. Now, what kind of a football game are we going to have? Suppose that we were in a war and everyone wore the same style uniform. What kind of a war would we have? If we were in any relationship, all dressed the same. And you see, that's Satan's game. Remember now that, strange as it might seem, what's going on in the world today is the children of darkness are wiser than the children of light. They have their side figured out very well. You see, a serpent, a deadly serpent, knows exactly what he's doing. But a sheep, an unsuspecting sheep, now the nature of a sheep is very innocent, very naive, and in a rude, crude way of explaining the sheep mentality, dumb. And so here we are, dumb sheep in the world. We haven't really figured out who the opposing side is. And Satan is as, not a, but is as a shining light. And this type of deceptive camouflage is so old, it is spoken of in the Bible in Matthew chapter 7:15 and in Matthew 10:1-6 and Luke 10:3 and John 10:1 and verse 12. Also, it's mentioned in Acts 20:29 as sheeps or as wolves in sheep's clothing. Now, here we are with the two opposing sides. Here we are looking at a deceptional situation where the wolves are dressed as sheep. Now, how are we going to figure the enemy out if we cannot expose or reveal those who are dressed as sheep, but inwardly in a situation where that they're dressed as wolves? Ladies and gentlemen, they fully intend, Satan and the enemy, intends to destroy the very elect, if possible. Now, you say, well, Pastor Buddy, things are going good. I've got a 3-car garage, and I'm uptown or downtown Charlie Brown, and I'm styling and profiling and doing quite well in the system that you describe as evil. Well, ladies and gentlemen, like I said, on a treadmill going nowhere, the usury chargers, this is the international banking scheme that has filled the world with usury, which is actually against the commandments of our Creator, Yahweh, as he described the very purpose of our existence, that we should keep his laws and his commandments and worship him above all other gods. Well, see, Satan moved in. He's the god of prosperity, ladies and gentlemen. He's the god of this world. He came to deceive the very elect. Notice then that we can begin to identify the wolves with this revelation, the written word of God. Remember when the Messiah, Yahushua in a flesh body, remember when he came to the earth? And remember how at the age of 30, which is the age of the beginning of his ministry, that Satan knew the very time that he was to do good. Remember, the Bible says that when you would do good, evil is always present. Ladies and gentlemen, a 2,000-year propaganda campaign to make the sheep believe that the wolves are also sheep. And oddly enough, the identity of the wolves can be found in a very unusual place. In the book of the history of Josephus, Wars, chapter 2, verse 8 through 2, says, the sheep strips clothing off the wolf and leaves the naked wolf exposed for what he is. Now, here is what Josephus had to say in that quote. For there are three philosophical sects among the Judeans. The followers of the first of whom are the Pharisees. Now, what did Christ say? To beware of the doctrine of the Pharisees. Well, they were the prosperous ones. They were the ones that loved the chief seats. They were the ones that were ruling in the power base of the Sanhedrin that actually killed or caused the death of the Messiah. And when Pilate, being examining the Messiah, found no fault, they cried out after he was to release the Messiah that he found no fault in him, therefore he was going to release him. And they said, we will judge him with fault. Let his blood be upon us. Now, the blood of the Messiah upon a generation of people, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to start with the scribes. How did the serpent, we're talking about the evil ones, how did Satan bring his bloodline into the earth? Question, does Satan, the god of this world, does he have the power to bring forth sons and daughters upon the earth? Well, it's very interesting in Genesis chapter 3, verses 13 and 14 and 15, when we look into the episode, highly classified, in a word game of the scribes who deliberately changed some of the original text. Now, let's see what was changed in the Bible in the beginning of time, going back to the days of Adam and Eve. Well, the Bible says that the command was that there were two very important trees in the garden. Now, this garden is a code word for a spiritual dimension from whence man has fallen from. This is the world of man. And the action of that world caused a drastic reaction into this world, the physical third dimensional world that we live in today, and the effects of the serpent seed from the very Garden of Eden is still with us today. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you walk through a field of clover and grass and beautiful flowers, and as a dumb, unsuspecting sheep, and you go galloping through the field of life, in this case, we need to be alerted. We see no danger. There seems to be nothing evil in the grass. But there's a serpent laying in the field of our grass. Remember, the Bible said they shall go in and out and find glean a pasture. Well, that's the sheep, but they're unsuspecting that there's evil among us. Now, how did Satan get his seed? Ladies and gentlemen, the astounding revelation is that Satan got his seed through Eve. Now, how did that happen? Well, let's go back and examine the statement that Yahweh spoke to Adam and Eve and to the serpent. Now, the serpent is a descriptive word that is talking about, actually, a spirit being. Well, can a spirit being bring forth children? Well, we know that Yahweh overshadowed Miriam in the New Testament example, and she was impregnated with the seed of the Son of God. Well, here is, what's the difference between Yahweh, one of the mighty Elohim, the El, if you will, the hierarchy, and ladies and gentlemen, there has been a battle for supremacy in the hierarchy of these angelic beings versus Yahweh, the eternal El. These were the rebellious ones, beginning with the transgression of Satan in the Garden of Eden when he placed his seed. Now, you say, Pastor Buddy, can Satan bring forth children as doeth the mighty ones? Well, of course he can. The Bible said that the most beautiful and the most admired and the tallest tree in the garden, this is in relationship to Ezekiel chapter 28 and Ezekiel chapter 31 and the 14th chapter of the book of Isaiah, we'll find the revelation that Satan was an eternal, if you will, created being, an angel, which is a little higher than man. So man had the ability to bring forth seed. Yahweh himself had the ability to bring forth seed. Now we excuse Satan, the enemy, the unseen, because it seems that he's got away with a crime in the Garden of Eden and nobody caught the act of his adulteration of the seed line. You see, Eve is the mother of all living. But it doesn't say that Adam was the father of all living, because when we look into the Garden of Eden, this interdimensional place where all of this began to unfold. Remember, the Bible said there's an inward man and there's an outward man. Well, the outward man is cursed and doomed, and flesh and blood will never inherit the kingdom of heaven. There is not going to be a flesh and blood existence anymore after the return of the Messiah, who literally took upon himself a flesh body and voluntarily, no man took his life. No one had the power. Ladies and gentlemen, if it had not been prophesied that he would give his life for the sheep, no power, physical or spiritual, could have taken the power. He voluntarily laid his life down. But the amazing thing, this has not been known since the death of Abel in the garden. Well, who slayed Abel? The serpent. Did Abel know that the offspring of Satan, Cain, was evil? No, he didn't recognize the enemy. At this time, there had been no bloodshed, and everything was good, and everything was excellent, but there was a diabolical plot in the heart of Cain. Well, who was Cain? Well, John 8:44, the Gospel of John 8:44 describes in detail who Cain was, and he had offspring in the earth. Let's go back to the very book and chapter and verse that I quoted in the beginning, in the third chapter of the book of Genesis, which means in Hebrew, a Bereshit, which means in the beginning, or Genesis, a record, if you will, a record of the genetic offspring of the two seeds. Well, ladies and gentlemen, be quite surprised. There is three seeds here in the garden. Yahweh is walking in the garden. Satan is walking in the garden, the beautiful angel, the archetype, the second in command of the hierarchy, if you will. Remember in Genesis chapter 6, when Yahweh, seems like he's always a little bit late getting in on what's happening on the earth, but never mind, ladies and gentlemen, he's there always on time or just in time to rescue or to solve the problems of the earth. You see, Yahweh himself came down with the mighty ones. This is the Elohim. And the Bible says he observed what man and these fallen angels were doing in Genesis chapter 6. These were the Nephilim. The offspring, if you will, or from the some of the translations, gives it correctly, when the angels of the spirit world came down into third dimensional and assumed the bodies of solid flesh. You say, Pastor, that's impossible. Oh, no. Let's look at the 18th chapter in the book of Genesis for just a moment. And we could also visit the 19th chapter for that matter. Or we could visit many, many reference scriptures where these angels had the power to come down in spirit from the fifth dimension or the fourth dimension, wherever that they dwell. Now, the fallen angel dwells in the fourth dimension. The first plane of pure spirit is in the fifth dimension, and this is where Yahweh and the other angels, there's a veil, a dimensional veil, a vibrational frequency exchange, a lock-in system, if you will, to keep the good angels separated from the bad angels. And from time to time, man is visited periodically by both the good and the bad, and to know or to discern, like we said in the football game, we exactly better watch out who's playing on what side and know. We've got to know this now, ladies and gentlemen. We've got to know which side that we're playing on. Now, if the enemy has deceived us, remember what the Bible said? The Bible said that the enemy will deceive the very elect, if possible. Now, how do we keep from being deceived with the possibilities so enhanced against us as sheep? Because, you see, sheep are naive, dumb. We have a nature that we don't recognize danger until almost it's too late, or we have to suffer the consequences as Eve did when she was deceived. The Bible said Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. So the first son she had was from the second in command, the angel that interrupted the heavenly marriage of Adam and Eve, committed the fornication. You say, oh, Pastor Ben, that's impossible. Well, let's go back and look at what John says in 8:44 again. We start in verse 37. Christ was speaking to these Canaanites that were mixed into the bloodline of Abraham. He said, I know that you're Abraham's seed. Now, how in the world did Satan get his bloodline genetics from Cain? We're talking about Canaanites, the enemy within, ladies and gentlemen, the hidden enemy. Now, nobody recognizes the enemy. If everybody looks human, we think they've all got a chance to go to heaven. That's not so. Satan and his angels, either or his offspring, will never inherit the kingdom of heaven. The Bible said Yahweh knows them there is, and of course, he knows them that are not his. The Bible said there are some natural brute beast made to be taken and destroyed in the fire. Ladies and gentlemen, who is this natural beast that became a natural being through through his flesh offspring? Well, in Genesis 3, verse 14, Yahweh spoke to Satan after that Eve had become impregnated. Remember now, she's pregnant with twins. She had in her womb the son of Satan, and she had in her womb the son of Yahweh. You say, well, what about the son of Adam? I thought that Eve and Adam were the father and mother of all living. That's not what the Bible said. It said Eve is the mother of all living, but it didn't include Adam, because Adam didn't get sons and daughters until the fifth chapter of the book of Genesis. Think about this, 130 years after the expulsion. Now, one day is 1,000 years with Yahweh, and so on and so forth. So you see, time, as it's revealed in the Bible, could have been a long period of processing, because the Bible says in the fourth chapter of the book of Genesis that the offspring of Cain and his offspring. Now remember, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 12, that Cain is of the wicked one. And the Bible says in the fourth chapter, now think about this as a process, because we look in fatalistic short expand, because we look at 365 days and a quarter being a year. Well, in the spiritual time count of Yahweh, that could be 1,000 years, or one day could be 1,000 years.
It doesn't matter, as time is related into the ancient formula that Yahweh put in the very beginning to establish a seed line. And here, there's two seed lines that you want to think about. There's a seed line of the wicked and a seed line of the good. There is a good tree and there is a bad tree, and those trees were revealed in the Garden of Eden. And the Bible says that she was commanded not to eat or touch the tree of good and evil. Now enter the Satan, the tree of good and evil. He persuaded her to become a god. Now how is that? To bring forth in the image of his personage. So the first son from her issue, from her womb, came from the seed of the tree of good and evil. Now how'd that happen, Pastor Buddy? Let's look at the word in the Bible. It's Strong's number 398, and it tells us in the descriptive terms of the hidden code language that Genesis is written in. Remember now, it's just like the enemy that came through in the Trojan horse at Troy. We're going to have to recognize, and we're going to have to rightly divide the word. Well, let's go back and do a word search in the Bible in chapter 3, and we're going to look at that word as we look at this. In chapter 3, verse 3 of the book of Genesis, but the fruit of the tree. Now, when we're talking about the fruit of a tree, we see our corner mind jumps out there. When we ask about the family tree, do we run out and look at the apples and oranges or the orchard trees and try to discern what type of fruit's hanging out in the backyard? No. What do we do when we talk about the family tree? We're talking about the descendants from a male who is described in the Bible as a tree. Every man has the ability to bring forth. Every woman has the ability to receive the sperm of the fruit from the body of a man to grow a little fruit tree. In this case, a express image of a person, because the Bible said we will bear the image of the earthly here in the inner kingdom where man was beginning to type and prototype. You see, Eve, the mother of all living, was impregnated first by the tree of evil. How did she get to so? Well, let's find the word here. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat of it. Now that word eat, if you'll go to your Strong's concordance and do your homework, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible said we're destroyed in Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. We're destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Therefore, since we reject knowledge, now when knowledge comes, if we're destroyed for the lack of it, then when knowledge comes through the preached, ministered word by the prophets of Yahweh, as they come in the last days upon the scene to declare the true gospel and the hidden revelation and bring to view the things that were hidden from the foundation of the world, brought to you by the Holy Shekinah, or the anointing, or as we say in modern English in America and around the world where the English language is spoken, we say the baptism of the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. This is the ruach of the Hebrew word spirit. Thou shalt not eat, E-A-T, a three-letter word. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let me show you about word changes and adding and subtracting. The Bible warns us in Revelation chapter 22 not to add to or to take from, but to rightly divide. Now, how are we going to do this? Well, simply, here is the way that we do the division. We do our homework in definition of language. The Hebrew language is a very, very defined language with many expressions and thoughts, so it's very easy to get a word translated wrong into the Bible. In this case, the word the translators use from the original Hebrew text, this is the word eat, and it's A-L-K-A-L. Elkiah. Thou shalt not Elkiah. Strong's number 398. And if you look at the 13, it's ironic that there's 13 definitions of the word eat, that translators could have used any of those definitions to express what she did, and they used the word eat interchangeably into the English from the Hebrew word 398, akah. Well, that word, the 13th definition, is to lay, L-A-Y, rather than E-A-T. Let's look at the word lay for just a moment. If we take out the word eat, and with the approval of the definition of the Strong's Concordance, meaning that this word should be analyzed and looked at and properly exchanged for understanding. If the Bible had said, and she lay with a serpent, and it was a sexual union, instead of that she looked upon a certain tree, some fruit tree, and she got some of this forbidden fruit, and she ate it, and she took it over, and what she hadn't finished eating, she gave Adam, and he did eat also. Well, ladies and gentlemen, isn't it ironic to know the process of procreation? Remember, the Bible says to Adam, the original Adam, that he was actually, in fact, a replacement for an Adam family. Who is this Adam family? But the Bible is so simply expressing, as we read in the carnal mind. But if we go back and look at the actual reality, let's go back and look again at the creation. Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God. Well, that word God in the Strong's is a 430. That's Elohim. That means plural, more than one. The helpers, Yahweh, and the helpers, Yahweh, and the angels, Yahweh, and the created beings. And the Bible says that before Satan was created, that means that he had a beginning and he can possibly have an end. Now, angels are supposed to be eternal beings. Well, so is man. You see, there's no difference in the reason that God made man in his image in Genesis 1, 26 and 27, which we're going to read here in a moment, to give you some explanation of the enemy, how he has sown his seed into the earth and has become a flesh and blood seed that is highly motivated to deceive the very elect and is highly motivated to destroy the sheep. And that's the warfare between the woman and her seed from Yahweh, and the woman and her seed from Satan, the woman being the connecting between the two seeds. You see, she was pregnant with two seeds, fraternal twins, same mother but two different fathers. One was from the seed of the wicked one, and the other was from the seed of Yahweh. Remember, the Bible says that the Son of God, we're talking about Abel here, that Abel, the son of Yahweh, listen to me well now, not the son of Adam, the son of Yahweh. Now, the Bible expresses in the fifth chapter of the book of Genesis that we can determine the genealogy downline of Adam. Well, everybody presumes that Cain and Abel was the offspring of Adam, because Adam knew Eve. Well, he knew her after the fact that she's already impregnated in the garden. Now, let me explain this again. A woman in her fertile cycle can receive seed from different males, different genetics, different bloods, if you will, and become pregnant with both seeds. Now, how can a woman do that? She can conceive in her fertile cycle with taking the sperm of two different males in this case. Let's look at it in two. There could be possibly three, and that's been known to happen. And these are scientific facts, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just not talking through my head here. I'm talking reality and the expression of what we should see in the Garden of Eden of the enemy that was within the belly of Eve. The Bible said that this seed that she had in her was from the wicked one. Well, the Bible says also that the second son that came out of her womb, remember, she didn't conceive again in Genesis 4 when she said, I have gotten a man from Yahweh, L-O-R-D. Every time you see L-O-R-D in capital letters, in the Hebrew original, it's Yahweh. So then, I have gotten a man from Yahweh. Well, that seems pretty neat that she thought that she got a man from one of the gods that walked in the garden in the fifth dimension. Remember, she had her children outside the garden in the third dimensional in flesh and blood. That's why that flesh and blood is bound and restricted and forbidden to come back into the garden, because Satan got the master prototype seed through Cain, and everything, including the Son of God, got a prototype through the wickedness of the flesh, bearing within itself a carnal mind, the ability to know good and evil. Most of us have failed the test, and we're quick to do evil and slow to do good. That's just a natural instinct coming from the prototype seed of Satan, the tree of good and evil. Now, ladies and gentlemen, these mysteries may just seem a little bit too deep for you, and I may be going a little bit fast, but I've only got an hour here on the Shepherd's Call Ministry to reveal to you certain things. So if you'd like to know more about this, you need to contact us here to Shepherd's Call Ministry in the beautiful hills of East Tennessee as we go around the world on WWCR, that's Worldwide Christian Radio. You don't want to miss Pastor Buddy every Saturday morning at 9 o'clock Central, 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, and wherever it may be in your time zone, if we're coming into Europe and into Russia or wherever, that you may hear the voice of the Shepherd's Call, please write me, and we'll give you important information concerning the hidden mysteries of the enemy within. We're talking about, in this case, genetic offspring, literally in the earth. Remember, the Bible said that the Son of God, the Son of Yahweh, was slain from the foundation of the world. Who was that? Well, that was Abel. Well, it identifies then that Abel was the son of Yahweh, not the son of Adam. Now, you say, well, how would you know that, Pastor Buddy? Well, it's very plain that there's three seeds, not two seeds, but not one seed. Adam is not the father of all in the earth. I would love to have it that way if it was been true. Then we could all live forever in eternal flesh bodies, flesh and blood bodies, and we would have had no end to our beginning when we were created. In this case, let's go to the genealogy downline in the fifth chapter of the book of Genesis, and we'll show you that neither Cain nor Abel was from the lineage of Adam. The Bible says that Enoch, the one that was translated, didn't see death, rode one of the mighty chariots of Yahweh into the heavens, as did Elijah in what we call the modern era of the ancient past. This was the very primitive, very, very primitive time in history when Enoch, seventh from Adam, when he rode the chariot out. Well, the Bible says that Enoch was the seventh issue from Adam. If you come from Adam to Enoch, you get seven. Well, if we begin with Cain and Abel and put him in the lineage downline of Adam, that would be nine. Ladies and gentlemen, you just don't compute with the genealogy downline, because the first son that Adam ever got in his likeness was Seth. That means replacement of the Son of God that was slain. You see, Yahweh intended to get his seed, his spiritual image, through the womb, because we're talking about telegamy. And if you know the scientific expression of the word telegamy, it means that we bear the imprint of the seed, whether it be good or bad. Ladies and gentlemen, the problem is it could be good or bad. You see, she laid with the serpent, Satan, the mighty archangel, the second in command to Yahweh, and you say, oh, Pastor Buddy, it's impossible for angelic beings to get seed. Well, then we have to deny the virgin birth of our Messiah Savior, in English known as Jesus Christ, in the Hebrew, Yahweh, Yeshua, Yahweh the Savior, in a flesh body. In the beginning, John 1:1, was the Word. And the Word was with God. and the Word was God. In the 14th verse, the Bible says of John chapter 1, verse 14, the Word, God, was made flesh. God, the Word, was made flesh. So God walked literally in a flesh body of perfection to come and die worthy for sin, because there was no fault found in him. Every son of Yahweh that came, every son of Adam that always came before the prosecuting attorney, in this case Satan, using the law to condemn sin, and sin has no way of entering in back into the fifth dimensional kingdom where he was expelled from. So when you go back, you must be perfected by a genetic bloodline of Yahweh himself. You say, Pastor Buddy, you're beside yourself. Let's go to the book of Revelations and let me express to you something very magnanimous and wonderful in the scriptures. First of all, I'll stop at the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, and verse 15. For having abolished in his flesh, now we're talking about the Son of God, Yahweh in the flesh body, God in the flesh, the enmity. Remember, he said, I'll put enmity between the two seats. That's the war. A war is going on, but we're fighting an unseen enemy because we don't recognize human beings as possibly from the seed of the serpent. And yet there is a bloodline in there. Yahweh Shua told the Pharisees and the scribes, your father is the devil, and the works of your father he will do, for he was a murderer from the very beginning, and abode not in the truth. Isn't that a marvelous revelation? Yahweh identifying a certain physical blood, flesh and blood creature as being from the seed of the serpent. Cain was of the wicked one, the offspring of Satan, Lucifer, the bright and morning star, or the one that posed him. He's not the bright and morning star. Ladies and gentlemen, the mistranslation in the book of Ezekiel makes it very plain that he posed as the bright and morning star. And remember, in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 11, that Satan comes into your personage, or he comes into your being, or comes into your presence, if you will, at an opportune time as a shining light. But he, Satan, described the very epitome of darkness, and the enmity that Christ abolished in his flesh, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the torture stake, the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Oh my, ladies and gentlemen, knowing this, that I bow my knees to the Father of our Messiah, Yahweh Shua, in the flesh body, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, among the things that we are expressing here, that among us in the last days, we are now manifesting the fruits of righteousness and bringing forth the Word of Yah. For we are his workmanship, created in the Messiah unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in the newness of life. Wherefore, the whole family in heaven and earth is in that wonderful, magnanimous, magnificent name of the Creator. Now, let's give you the 16th verse of the 22nd chapter of the book of Revelations. Listen as I read here in the Bible. I, Yahweh Shua, Jesus in the English here now, but we need to put the proper name. You see, Jesus is a Greek Latinized name that's under 500 years old. You see, the original Bible, the King James in this case, didn't contain the name Jesus. There was no J's in the Hebrew, none in the Greek, and none in the Latin in 1611. So they couldn't have been Jesus. Think about the phonics here. Jesus. Jesus. let's say it in Spanish now. Hey, Zeus. Well, who? Does that ring a bell? Does that smack of a pagan god? Was not Zeus considered in the Greek Roman world at the time that the apostles and Yahweh himself in a flesh body were doing battle with the pagan gods of the ancient worlds of the heathen? Zeus was the supreme god that was worshipped. You say, well, he was just a pagan. He was just a mythical god. Ladies and gentlemen, if you could have seen how serious these people were in that day, they cut your head off for saying that word. In the time of the apostolic fathers, to defame a god such as Zeus in the Greek world would have got you instant death. They would stone you to death. Just like the Jews would stone you to death for speaking the name of Yahweh, the Hebrew covenant name of Yahweh. They said it was too sacred to utter and to speak, and they were taught by the priesthood in Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 25 and 26. They were taught to forget the name of Yahweh for Baal, B-A-A-L or L-O-R-D, as we are now being deceived by the enemy through the sly, cunning craftiness of men who would creep in unaware and change the sacred text and cause us to worship the creature rather than the Creator. Do you know your Creator? Do you know Him by name? In the 14th chapter of the book of Revelations, chapter 1, we see a great host of the resurrected bride of 144,000 standing with the Messiah, having the Father's name in the forehead. Now, in John chapter 5, verse 43, the Bible says, in a direct quote by the Messiah himself, I am. That's a causative verb to be. It's a Hebrew expression of I am that I am, or the Yod-Heh-Vah-Heh. He was actually expressing his name, I am. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. Ladies and gentlemen, he didn't come in a Greek Latinized name. He didn't come in a name of a mythical God. He came in the name of the divine covenant name 5,823 times in the Old Testament alone, or the Old Covenant Bible, as we call it, and 1,000 times in the New, where it's written L-O-R-D, 7,000 times in the Bible. His name, Kevin Hid, actually translated out of the Bible. Remember, the Bible says in Acts 4 and 11 and 12, this is the name that was set at naught of the builders. Who's the builders? That's the translators in this case. They translated his name out, the sacred, wonderful, glorious, magnanimous, magnificent, all-powerful, righteous, holy name of Yahweh. They translated it out of the Bible, and they replaced it with L-O-R-D. If you look up the word L-O-R-D, it takes you to Baal, B-A-A-L, the Canaanite god, and this is how Cain's seed have destroyed the ability of the sheep to know their father and have his name placed in their forehead. Ladies and gentlemen, truth before the last days. Hearing it tonight, wherever you may be, on WWCR around the world in Christian radio with Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call. Now, if you would like to know more about this marvelous truth, we'll give you in just a few minutes an address that you can write, a telephone number that you can call, or a website that you can connect to get more of the revelation of the hidden enemy within. Remember now, a wolf in sheep's clothing looks like a sheep among the sheep. You wouldn't know the difference until you expose. How do you expose? Through the word. You know how the Messiah withstood Satan, as I said, in his ministry of 30 years of age? He said, it is written, 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 it is written. And the Bible said, search the scriptures, for wherein you think you have eternal life, you have none. You've got to rightly divide the scriptures and put it in proper perspective and expose the wolves in sheep's clothing to get the revelation of the truth. The Bible said that this gospel, if it's hid, ladies and gentlemen, you must search and strive to enter in at the straight gate. For straight is the gate, and there is a way, and the few thy be that find it. And broad is a way, this is a seem right way, it's a religious way, it's a seem right way being preached by the 5-1-3 expression of the world church of Satan, not the world church of Yahweh. Satan, being the great deceptor, have changed the truth and the lie, as I said, to worship the creature, God, Satan and the earth, rather than the creator, the spiritual man, that had his expression, his seed. Remember he said, I will put enmity between your seed. He was talking about Satan. He was talking to Satan. He addressed Satan and said that he would put enmity between the seed of the serpent and the offspring of the seed of the woman. Two seeds. How did Yahweh get a seed? Through Miriam, the little Hebrew girl, a woman that had never known a man, she was overshadowed by Yahweh. So Yahweh became the father of the image that had created into her womb. And John tells us in 1:1, as I've done express, that in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh through Mary, the Word of God, to destroy enmity, to open up a way of perfection and to come perfect without sin, where Satan couldn't accuse the brethren anymore, and Yahweh could open up the way for every one of his children to come back home. Oh, marvelous. Revelation of the last days through the anointed prophets of Yahweh. Are you listening tonight? Or this afternoon, wherever you may be listening to the Shepherd's Call, right here in the Eastern time zone or the Central time zone, it could be morning for you. Wherever you may be listening, let this be the day of reckoning. Today is the day. And if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Reach out and appeal for the very worthiness of your soul. You're worth more than the sparrows that light upon you. Yahweh is trying to bring the truth. You see, it is the truth of the gospel, truly preached in divine revelation, that will be able to save you, save your soul, and remit your sins in the only name under heaven given among men where you can be saved. Neither is there any other name. You see, they took the true name out and put in a name of blasphemy that all the world would wonder after, a name that would be sung in praise from morning to night, and the very person of the mythical God of Jesus is being worshipped around the world 24/7 as a name above every name. In actuality, it is a fictitious name sown by the enemy within, as the enemy sowed the tares among the sheep, as the enemy dressed up in sheep's clothing to appear good. And inside they're raven and wolves. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in a time of trouble such as the world has never seen. We're in a day when Satan has the ability to change the truth into a lie and deceive the very elect, if possible. Ladies and gentlemen, men like myself, ministers of the Holy Word, rightly divided, are coming on the scene in the last days in force with the mystery of the last days to reveal that there is a way that seemeth right on the broad way of the 501c approach to Christianity with a name that is false. And the true name is living, hid, readily hid by the deceptors who have caused my people to forget my name for Baal. Ladies and gentlemen, isn't it wonderful to know the truth? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Well, you're listening tonight to Pastor Buddy, or this afternoon, or this morning, wherever the time zone may regulate you to, we should be coming into Europe right about now in the late evening, where that we express our pleasure to speak to you from the Shepherd's Call Ministries here in New Tazewell, Tennessee. Get your pen and your paper, and if you'd like to write Pastor Buddy for more information, I would be glad to send it to you. That's Pastor Buddy. That's all you need. Pastor Buddy. Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. And I'm going to repeat that for you slowly. Pastor Buddy. Post Office Box 2284. That's New Tazewell. Let me spell it for you slowly. N-E-W, two words, New Tazewell, T-A-Z-E-W-E-L-L, Tennessee. That's T-N, 37824. My telephone number, if you're calling, is area code 423-626-2172. That's area code 423-626-2172. Again, Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824, the telephone number, area code 423-626-2172. I'll send you a track on the Divine Covenant name, and any requested information will be sent to you through the ministry of the Shepherd's Call and the friends that support Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call. If you can help us on the broadcast, we would very much appreciate it. Any offering or tithing, if you'd like to become a regular subscriber, we'll be here each Saturday morning on WWCR at 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, 9 o'clock Central, whatever time zone that we're coming to you in. Make a note of the time schedule, and we will visit you. You can also listen live on WWCR 5070 to the Shepherd's Call with Pastor Buddy each Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 o'clock Central Time on Worldwide Christian Radio, WWCR, the jewel transmitters of the South. First class, WWCR. None like it, none compared. She's the Cadillac and the jewel of the industry. WWCR, coming to you from the beautiful state of Tennessee, right here in the Volunteer State. We volunteer to bless you. We volunteer to reach out to you, and we love you very much. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the time clock on the wall's caught up with us. We got to go. I'll see you next Saturday morning on WWCR at 7, or actually it's 9 o'clock Central, 10 o'clock Eastern, with the Shepherd's Call. We'll see you then, and may the blessings of Yahweh richly bless you. Thank you.